At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's roll. This is Sportridge. I am Gabe Roberts. The players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Monday edition of Sportridge, the evolution of the Rage Illusion. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. It was a pretty wild weekend as the sports world start to collide. Right now, college of football, of course, kicked off with a bang, literally and figuratively, in Dublin, Ireland. A wild football game, wild stuff after the football game in Ireland. NFL preseason comes to a close. We get ready for NFL kickoff, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and then we've got the Chargers and the Chiefs on a Friday night. In Brazil, U.S. Open tennis has started. Tommy Fleetwood saves the best for last. If you're going to win, why not win the FedEx Cup? Baseball, pennant chases continue. All kinds of stuff going on in the sports world. But college football is back, and it was super cool to have games back. And it was really like the appetizer, the breadsticks and the soup, so to speak. We had Iowa State and Kansas State from Dublin, Ireland. And it was a interesting second half of the football game. The first half was terribly played. And, you know, it was, you could tell it was the first game of the year for these teams. But right on cue, things got crazy as the game went on. But even crazier, number one, Iowa State just owned K-State. All right. They're 5-1 straight up against them the last 6 times that they played. You know, they say styles make fights. And K-State and Iowa State are very similar, right? They're very similar in how they play. They're similar as far as their skill talent is concerned. They're, you know, they're recruiting. So there's not a lot of difference between the two teams, really. But to me, and the reason why I did like Iowa State, I thought they had the better coach, right? You know, Matt Campbell's just a great coach. I thought they had the better ground game. And quite frankly, Avery Johnson, while flashy, can be erratic. And, you know, Rocco Beck is just kind of steady. It was a crazy football game. But for those of you that don't know, and there's videos of it out there, Avery Johnson's father and Avery Johnson's brother were at the game in Dublin, Ireland, and they got into a fight, like a real fight, though. They weren't just like talking smack back and forth to each other. They started throwing for real, which, you know, it's not, you know, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see a family fighting like that. But if you're K-State, you certainly don't want to see that in the public. Like, they were basically fighting in the parking lot after the game in front of everybody. And people knew who they were, right? I mean, Kansas State fans know who they are. Hell, Avery Johnson's father was wearing an Avery Johnson jersey. And I don't know, his brother, like, was, like, about to kill his father, essentially. Like, and, you know, he had to be stopped and restrained. I don't know what the father said to him, but clearly my guess is that that's not the first time that that's happened between them. And I didn't know that the Johnson family are crazy like this, but evidently they are. And because they said, oh, you know, kind of it's OK. Like, word was that basically it's not a big deal that they get into it a lot, but that this time it just went a little bit further than it normally does. So it's quite the family that the Johnsons got, and the pressure is on. But that's just straight out, flat out embarrassing. Like, that's embarrassing for the family. It's embarrassing for the program. It's embarrassing for the school. It's just flat out embarrassing. I've never seen that before. Like, I can't, you know, I can't even think, oh, that's like the time that this happened or the time that that happened. No, like, I can't. Like, have you ever seen a college football star's father get into a literal fist fight in the parking lot? And not just like one shot, like they did the whole drunk guy, like rolling around in puddles. Like they was all, it was Dublin. So there's rain everywhere. They were rolling around in puddles and K-State fans were trying to break it up and they were getting like pulled down into it. Yeah. It's quite the video out there. And, oh yeah. It was a crazy weekend. There's another video out there. Quentin Rampage Jackson, former MMA fighter, somebody that I know and somebody that like is legit crazy. But he's actually a nice guy, like in real life. Like, I had him on the show a bunch of times. He was buddies. He was pretty close with Heath Herring. Well, pretty close, but they knew each other well, you know, from the Japan days. And so I knew Quentin a bit, had him on the show. Chill dude. You could tell he's the type of dude that you really wouldn't want to upset, right? And but so Quentin Rampage Jackson, he streams a lot now. He's got his own shows and he streams all the time. And it's pretty funny. It's basically like him, like getting drunk at bars, and he just films himself going out all the time. So his son is in his videos a lot. So he's got a 25-year-old son, Quentin Rampage Jackson, who is a mixed martial artist, but not like a star mixed martial artist type deal. But yeah, he's in MMA, but he's not like a big prospect or big star or anything like that. But for whatever reason, he got involved in some local wrestling promotion. I think it was in L.A. And he nearly killed the guy, like literally and figuratively. The guy hit him in the face with a beer can before the match, but it was part of the wrestling skit. Like, he took a can and he hit him in the head with it. Rampage's kid got all pissed off and told him, I'm going to get you during the match. And he got him. He slammed the guy, dropped him on his head, and then started punching him in the face for real, put him in a near coma. The guy nearly died. And then he left the scene, too. He fled the scene after, which made it worse. Police are now investigating. So, like, this happened over the weekend. It's blown up online. He's definitely going to get sued. Like, will he get arrested? It was assault. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, just because it's a wrestling match, you can't say, oh, I didn't know it was a wrestling match. Like, no, like anyone that saw it, it was flat out assault. Like a bunch of people had to jump in and like, you know, it was bad, bad. He nearly killed the dude. Like literally nearly killed the dude. So wild weekend. Yeah, this is crazy stuff. A lot of stuff going on, but college football is back. So is Mo Khan. And so is Cam Stewart from Las Vegas, Nevada, where people continue to enter the contest in Vegas. And Cam, you were down there at the Circa. How did you enjoy yourself?
It was great, Gabe. We did a couple of shows, met some people. Brady Cannon was there. You're involved. Everyone's asking about you down there too. And it's interesting. You talked about wrestling. I went to the plaza and a guy that I know and from around Toronto, he's a referee. Abdullah the Butcher was there. He was in a wheelchair, Jake the Snake Roberts. So they had a wrestling card in the plaza right down the street, but college football was awesome. So yeah, it was kind of a wild weekend in and out, but we're in the contest, buddy. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I can't wait. I just hate that flight, Morenci. It's very, very long, and I'm glad we took care of business because I won't be going back for a while. I can tell you that.
And we got Mo Khan in the house in Montreal. What's up, Mo? How you doing?
I am well. Actually, Cam, my buddies were down in Vegas at the Circa event as well. They won it last year with a bunch of other people, so they're exhausted from that Vegas trip this past weekend.
I wish I met them, Mo. We were right there, and that was the home base for a while, but Gabe, as you know, it's pretty crazy down there. It's wild. And you brought up a lot of good points, Morenci. They were still talking about it. And Andy Isco's my proxy. He's like, I can't believe we don't see as many Canadians anymore. And I was actually shocked. Like, the tables were a lot emptier than I'm used to. Nobody waiting. I could go anywhere I want. You really noticed it.
Yeah, tourism in Las Vegas is down in a big way. And it's kind of an indicator of the future, actually. Las Vegas is sort of the bell whistle. It's sort of the bell whistle for the American economy and the future of Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is luxury spending, right? It's not a necessity. You know, people go to Las Vegas as a luxury, as a treat, as a, you know, as to party, as a vacation, etc. And that, you know, you can sort of see, and it trickles down. So what happens now So Las Vegas is down, and it affects locals, right? People work there. And then suddenly people start losing jobs. Like, basically, the housing market in Las Vegas is about to burst again. So it's not just like, oh, the casinos and a couple of Canadians aren't going. A lot of people aren't going. Between, like, Americans don't go to Las Vegas as much anymore, at least now, due to the economy, due to the fees and the expensiveness of Las Vegas and the resort fees and stuff like that. Canadians didn't really care about that. Because if you were, and a lot of Canadians went to Vegas, like the most out of anybody in the world. So if you're a Canadian and you're going to Vegas, you could afford it and you weren't really concerned about the fees. But for the most part, like, they've lost all the Canadian travel, and domestic local travel is way down. So the combination of both is just absolutely devastating for Las Vegas. I got to believe that it will. You know, like, Vegas isn't dying. Like, people, oh, Vegas, this, Vegas. Like, Vegas is resilient. Like, we've seen, you know, Vegas goes up, it goes down. But you saw, Cam, and listen, you were at Circa, too, and I should note, Derek Stevens and Circa, I'm not going to say he's recession-proof, but they're kind of the one, they're the most successful operation in Vegas right now. Like, that whole contest. Like, you think about it, guys, like, dude, like, there's going to be like $20 million in that Circa Survivor. And unlike, like, the Westgate, like, the Super Contest used to be the kingpin of contests before the Circa was there. Except people didn't really stay there and make a party of it. They would show up, enter the contest, and leave. The Hilton Westgate, the H, what it's been called a million things over the years, but, you know, the original Hilton.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Like, it's not a cool place. Let's just call it out for what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's boring. It's kind of older people. Like, Elvis played there. And, like, they still, like, push that. Like, you know what I mean? Like their residency is Barry Manilow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I used to live right near there. And I used to go there. I didn't hang out there that much. Like,
Barry Manilow.
And they have like, the Superbook, which used to be the big. I guess it is still technically the biggest sports book in the world. Yeah. So it is cool. And, you know, on Saturday mornings and stuff, it's okay, but whatever, it's cool. But, you know, it's changed a lot now. And there's, you know, you can bet everywhere. People bet on their phones, so they don't go to the books as much anymore. But Derek Stevens done a great job at the Circa, building it up like it's like this big event. Like, he's got a media row and people do their shows there. And, you know, he gives deals for the room, so he's filling up the rooms. And I read an interview. I follow all this stuff, obviously, about Vegas, but Stevens did an interview the other day, and he talked about the one, and he said, oh, Vegas is hurting. But he said the one thing that actually is not hurting is sports betting. And it's ironic because I thought about it in the old days in Vegas, still to an extent, but pretty much sports betting. I mean, have you ever walked into a casino and seen a sports book in the front of the casino? No. Right? Sports books were always buried in the back, you know, like out of the place. They're taking up room. Yeah, it's good to take sports bets because it brings people in the building. But sports books are generally like, you know, 3-5% of a big casino's like handle. So it's not like one of their top priorities. Derek Stevens, like the Circa, is not a casino with a sports book. It's a sports book with a casino. Like it's a sports book first. And oh, yeah, and we have tables, but we are a sports book first and we are a casino. And he brought it up. He said, you know, sports betting's never been as big as it's been, quite frankly, right? And he's, you know, they're doing great because people go down there, they enter the contest, and then they stay in the rooms, they bet, and he's had one weekend after another, from the Bet Bash stuff to the Circa weekend to next weekend, it'll be Labor Day weekend. This weekend, Labor Day weekend, the start of college football. And the real traffic, Cam, hasn't even started for the contest yet. Like, yeah, it's busy now and a lot of people entered, but the bulk of the entries happen now, right?
Great
like,
call.
You have until next Thursday at kickoff, or not even Thursday. You have until next Sunday because you don't have to bet the Thursday game. So, like, or I guess a Saturday afternoon's the cutoff, I think. So, you literally have another, like, week here. So, you're going to have the Labor Day weekend this weekend. That's when it's really, like, you get the back end. And then all the locals haven't really entered yet because they know, I'll wait till all the tourists are gone and I'll roll in there, right? I'll go enter on the Tuesday or whatever. I actually saw the Mike Palms of the Circa said that only 8% of entries are from Vegas. Think about that, guys. Wow. 92% of the entries in the contest at Circa are like are visitors. Same Mo with the Raiders. It's pretty crazy with the Raiders.
Yep.
Only 37% of people at the games are from Las Vegas, Nevada. It's at a Raider game. Like, the Raiders are basically a tourist team. They're not 100%. Like a local team. Like, you know what I mean? You have people from California that love them. You know, Raider fans are Raider fans that love them in Oakland, L.A., Vegas, whatever. So you got the diehard sort of West Coast Raider fan that goes no matter where they play. You've got the visiting fans that come in. And then you've got the tourists that are just degenerates and or tourists that don't have an NFL. Like, you know, they don't have NFL games in Idaho or something. Like, hey, you know what I mean? Yeah, we're from Montana and the Raiders are playing the Broncos. And like, let's go to an NFL game. So, yeah, it's like about 35% only, guys, people that go to a Raider game that are local. So speaking of local in Las Vegas, the UNLV Running Rebels opened up their season against the Idaho State Bengals. And they ended up closing as 31-point favorites in this football game. And we were live on the air Saturday morning, and we were breaking down this game. And I brought it up, and I said, number one, if this point spread is stupidly high. I said the original 23-24 was the right number, and even that was high. Like, I liked Idaho State at plus 24. Yet it went up to plus 31.5 at a couple of spots. And, you know, at one point we're thinking, all right, so what? Did a bunch of their kids just get arrested in a casino and only certain people know about this? Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, they are in Vegas. Are they getting suspended? Did they do something? Because a lot of stuff that'll happen, guys, and only certain people know. And, oh, yeah, they were out at a strip club and they shouldn't have been. Or like, so I was like, what did Idaho State do? Like, are they missing players? They weren't. And then Idaho State gave UNLV all that they could handle. UNLV got it done. Like, they started to make some plays late in the fourth quarter, but it was amazing. And remember, guys, UNLV lost to Howard years ago. It was 45-point favorites to start the season. So we've seen this script before with the UNLV Running Rebels, but they survived. But, Mo, Barry Odom built that program. Mullen is not going to be able to sustain it. Right, Mullen's a flashy guy. He's good to do interviews and stuff, yeah. But Odom's a better coach. Like, Odom was all business, and Odom knew, I got to get out of here. Like, we can't pay players here. Like, we've got problems behind the scenes. So that's why Odom split. But that was, they got the W, but this is not the same UNLV team as last year. People are going to have to realize that.
No, and reading an article by Dan Mullen early this summer, right, that he had to kind of reload because a lot of guys left after Barry Odom left for the better job in NCAA. And I think now for UNLV, for what they're going to try to build up moving forward here, remember, guys, they try to get into the big Pac-12. They try to get into bigger conferences, but no one wants them because they're not really a desirable destination.
No, that's not true, Mo. That's not true at all.
But the school as a
whole.
That's
not true. Right? The Pac-12 did want them. The Pac-12 desperately wanted them, but they made more money, actually, because the Mountain West wanted them to stay. And right. It got to the point where it's like, we'll make more money in the Mountain West than going to the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 desperately wanted UNLV, and they wanted that Vegas market. But UNLV actually decided it was more profitable and smarter to stay in the Mountain West.
Yeah, but the thing is, in the minds of UNLV, right, reading the article, they thought they're bigger than what is the current structure of Mountain West and Pac-12 football. Right? They thought they could be a bigger conference, but they're not. But the thing is for Dan Mullen now moving forward, guys. So what Barry Odom did really well is recruit that pipeline, right? Bishop Gorman and all those Vegas area and Nevada area schools well enough for bringing kids here. The biggest fault to Dan Mullen when he was at the University of Florida and prior to that Mississippi State, he couldn't recruit. He didn't connect with the locals, right? And this left it to those to do the recruiting for him. And that might be a big downfall for Mullen at UNLV if he can't get that right. Look, first game of the year, was I surprised by the scoreline? Absolutely. But I think at the end of the day, though, UNLV will be fine. But for the long play, though, is Dan Mullen all in to be a recruiter and a 24-hour operator to make sure that he can get those guys to come buy into Vegas and be part of his program for the next 3, 4, 5 years, however long he's there?
Think about it, Cam. If you're UNLV, why go to the Pac-12 like Boise State? Like, you just make your life harder. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They saw that everyone was leaving the Mountain West, and they could sort of become the kingpins, right? Then yep. the way that the contract was getting split up, they made a lot more money staying in the Mountain West. Because I was personally, you guys got to go to the Pac-12. That was my, yeah. I'm like, this is your chance to go to the Pac-12. You've got this Vegas market behind you, right? It's not so much the team. It's like the city. Why did the Big Ten want Rutgers? Think about that, guys. You think the Big Ten was like, you know, we're a really successful conference, yeah. but we're not the same, Cam. Like, if we had Rutgers, that football would really power. Make us good, right? Yeah. That would really make us good.
Amazing.
Like, if we get Rutgers, we could use them, and suddenly we can play in Madison Square Garden now. Like, we've got New York City. So that was the whole thing with Vegas. It's like, yeah, we can use Allegiant Stadium, and that, you know what I mean? And we could, like, have basketball tournaments there and football tournaments. So that's why, like, they're so desirable. But I thought they should have as well. But if you look at it was all about money. And UNLV basically said, and they told the board told everyone, don't worry about this Pac-12 stuff. We're getting more money to stay in the Mountain West.
And Gabe, the new Pac-12 is awesome, too. If you take a look at it, it's great news for Boise State. Who do you got? Colorado State, Fresno State, Oregon State, San Diego State. Really interesting addition with Texas State, Utah State, Washington State, and Gonzaga will be there just for basketball. Likely not, like, they're not going to be a football member, but I find it very, very interesting that Texas State's there, and you're absolutely correct. But yeah, at least now it's not the Pac-2, buddy. It was just the Beavers and the Cougars chomping right now, but I can't wait for the new Pac-12, and it's great news.
Yeah, they stayed loyal.
For Boise. Yeah, they did stay loyal.
They stayed That's loyal. True, they no, but they stayed loyal to the CW network.
Yes.
I get the CW network, and they have
Family Matters.
They have Pac-2 football. They show, like, they've got the Beavers and the Cougar games, but the people that cut that deal are still there. So they were like, you know what? You guys were cool with us, the CW network. We're going to keep on going. So yeah, the CW network just cut a deal, actually, with the new Pac-12. Well, one thing you notice, too, like Cam said, Mo, Pac-12, they're kind of, you know, it's kind of like.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
They're making this up as they go. Let's just call it out for what it is, right? They're like, all right, let's do this and let's do that and let's bring this school in. But you'll notice they're doing a really good job of poaching good teams in different sports, right? Where they're like, okay, you'll only play this sport. Like Gonzaga is a good example. Gonzaga is an elite basketball program. So now they got Gonzaga in the mix. You know, you're going to have some nice rivalries in the future. Cal Baptist is a good example. Cal Baptist just joined the Pac-12, but in baseball only. Like, the thing is, they're really good. Cal Baptist are all these Baptist schools are pretty good at baseball, and Dallas Baptist has joined now. So now they're starting to bring Texas baseball teams into the Pac-12 right now. So they're sort of building things, and we'll see where they are a couple of years down the road, and they start stockpiling these schools, but man, it's just chaos out there. But as far as the games are concerned, big news, Bryce Underwood has been named the starting quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines. One of the highly prized recruits in the country. He ended up going to LSU, but Michigan, and it's funny because he's from Michigan, right? From Michigan, and he didn't want to initially go to Michigan, right? And I think, as much as we love Harbaugh, I think it was a Harbaugh thing. Behind the scenes, I think basically Harbaugh didn't recruit him hard enough, early enough. Like Harbaugh sort of showed up like late in the kid's high school. Like from what I heard behind the scenes with Michigan people is he didn't really feel it with Harbaugh in the same way that he felt it with Moore. And Moore went all in, and I'm sure that the $10 million didn't hurt either. I'm sure the $10 million that he got didn't hurt. No one really knows what he got. Like, he's almost underpaid when you see some of the deals that are out there. But from what I understand, it's $10 million, but it's not $10 million a year. It's $10 million if he stays. It's $2.5 million cash essentially. Yet he got like a lot of other stuff. Like he's allowed to sell his own merchandise, which is new. Like he's selling Bryce Underwood like jerseys and merch. He's getting the money, not the school. The school's getting some money too, but that's new, Mo. Remember, like in the old days, that's what drove Chris Webber crazy when Chris Webber was on the Fab Five. Like in those days, like, the Fab Five got money, but it was under the table from Ed Martin, the bookie guy, right? So they were getting paid, but not by this, and not a lot. And he was seeing his jerseys everywhere. And he was like, oh my God, I don't see a cent of this. And everyone in Michigan's wearing a Chris Webber jersey, and I'm not making any money. So, 30 years later, here we are. Underwood got it and basically said, yeah, I sell my own merch, though, right? Like, Michigan are allowed to sell Underwood jerseys, but, like, he's got his own T-shirts, and he's got the Michigan thing on it and whatever. Like, so he's got his own website, his own team store, and, like, now he's got to back it up, Mo. Sure. All the hype, now he's got to back it up. I like the decision of just starting him. What are we doing? We're not going to start Leach from Fresno here. So let's start him. In week one, he gets his feet wet against the New Mexico Lobos. And then the bullets fly for real in 2 weeks, guys. Michigan go to Norman, Oklahoma to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in a massive – I tell you, Mo, Michigan win that game, then they're off and running this year. They lose that game, then, every game almost becomes like, oh, boy, we better win because – Michigan have to go to Nebraska, too, a couple of weeks after this. They have to go to Nebraska as well after the Oklahoma game, 2 weeks after. Yeah. So that Oklahoma game is massive for them to get that season going, Mo.
I think it's bigger for Oklahoma because Oklahoma has a lot more to play for, right? Brent Venables has to save his job. He has to prove in year three that he is the man that can bring back Cole U to being a power in the SEC.
Well, there's pressure on him because it's at home. Yeah, because it is enormous. They did beat Alabama last year in this building, though, right? So,
right,
they are dangerous at home, Oklahoma. But there's no doubt, Venables is under pressure.
You bring in a new quarterback, Mateer, new offense coordinator as well, right? But I think for Bryce and Michigan right now, moving forward here, I mean, the way the schedule's set up for them, it sets up well where if they get these early wins, it creates that credit now where, hey, they can maybe lose a game in October and not get nailed for it, right? And I think for them and Bryce Underwood, look, he's a five-star box office name here, guys. He's a five-star hero for what he's done in high school football. He's got the arm. He's got the strength. He's got the mobility as well. But can he put it together and be the most mature player on the football field? And that's a lot to ask for, guys, as a true freshman, essentially, playing in week one at home against New Mexico. But I think for him, moving forward here, at the end of the day, Gabe, being a Michigan fan, you're based off of two things. Beat Ohio State and win the Natty. If he beats Ohio State, he'll be accepted and adored by the Michigan faithful for however long he stays and at Ann Arbor, for that matter.
The thing is with Michigan, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. They're not going to change their offense, right? Their offense is their offense. Sharon Moore, like he was calling the plays when Harbaugh was the coach, right? So when they won the championship, it was run heavy. It was run heavy. Even with J.J. McCarthy, it's not going to – so – that's the one thing with Underwood. Yes, he's a star. And yeah, there's a ton of pressure on him. The thing is, guys, he just turned 18 last week.
Crazy.
His birthday is August 19th. He just turned 18. Can't imagine. He's 17 years old only, essentially. Right? He's been named a starting quarterback at the Michigan Wolverines. You want to talk about pressure. Thing is, he's 17/18 years old. He's also 6'4", 225 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, he's basically Cam Newton. Like, when you look at him, you're like, oh, my God. Like, he looks like he's 25, Mo. Like, when you look at him.
Yeah.
Like, his face. Like, he looks like a grown man, even though he's a kid. But he's still a kid. So, we have to remember that. But I'm telling you guys, for everyone tuning in right now, the name that, you know, that the star player of the Michigan Wolverines this year is not Bryce Underwood. It's Justice Haynes. Justice Haynes is going to rush for, like, 1,600 yards this year, guys. They're going to run this kid like over and over and over again. And he won't be the only one, but expect Michigan to run the ball. But at least they'll have the option to throw, because it was pretty bad last year. Only three teams in college football threw the ball less last year than the Michigan Wolverines. Air Force, Navy, and Army.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Air Force, yeah. Only the three military teams threw the football less than Michigan did. Because Michigan realized we cannot throw the football. Yeah, think about that. Michigan could not throw the, like, literally could. They were as bad as, like, a military school throwing the ball, and they still beat Ohio State and Alabama at the end of the year last year. Like, that's how good this, yeah, this is how good, like, this team could be, right? Like, this year. Like, and their defense is all back. Like, they're stacked. And now they got Justice Haynes comes in from Alabama. He's a star running back. Like, their offensive line is more experienced. Michigan, man, they're sleepers, Michigan, but their schedule is tricky, like, early. And I should know, too, it's every game's big game, but honestly, if Michigan was going to lose, I'd rather lose to Oklahoma than Nebraska, because it's a Big Ten game. So at least it's a non-conference game, but it's basically, hey, Michigan wins this game, then you start talking about the playoffs, right? You got that Oklahoma game out of the way, you can start to talk about the playoffs, Michigan being in this playoff picture, which I think they are. But we got some big games this week. Thursday night, college football is back. So, you know, we had a little appetizer, guys, on that on the Saturday, but now it gets real. Thursday night, 5:30 Eastern, early kickoff, because there's a bunch of games. Boise State at South Florida. Boise State are 6-point favorites in that football game. The game of the night on Thursday, like, basically the two big TV games. They're showing the Boise State South Florida game at 5:30. And then it rolls into the Nebraska-Cincinnati game. Nebraska-Cincinnati at Arrowhead, actually, at 9 o'clock Eastern. Nebraska are 6.5-point favorites against the Bearcats. The total is 54. Then Friday, we've got football. The game of the day on Friday. There's a couple of cool ones, actually, but the big one, Auburn. Auburn at Baylor. A Baylor Bear team that I like their win total over 7.5. So it'd be nice if they would be able to start the season with this win. Remember, Baylor won their last six games last year, the regular season. They lost their bowl game, but it was to LSU, and it was a close game and a track meet. Baylor are ready to rock this year. I think they're going to beat Auburn in this season opener. Baylor, 2.5-point home underdogs. Georgia Tech go to Colorado on Friday night. They go to Boulder. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are 4.5-point favorites. Haynes King is back at QB. Caden Salter from Liberty is now over at Colorado. You've got Colorado get 4.5 points on their home field. UNLV are 10.5-point road favorites against Sam Houston State on Friday night. And then Saturday, it really starts to go. And we got Miami and Notre Dame on the Sundays, guys. Sunday, we got two games, Virginia Tech at South Carolina, Notre Dame at Miami. So, Mo, I'll throw them at you.
Yeah.
I'll get your big game picks here. So, Notre Dame at Miami. Notre Dame are 2.5-point favorites. Former Michigan Wolverine head coach Lloyd Carr, his grandson, CJ Carr, has been named quarterback of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And, of course, Carson Beck makes his debut in Florida. What's your pick, Mo, Notre Dame or Miami?
Miami's won the last six straight against ND in South Florida. But I like Notre Dame a lot, guys. I think they have a team that's a little bit more stabilized than what Miami is. I think for Carson Beck, for where he's at right now, a lot of pressure on him to be that man for Miami. But I just think that ND will come out there. They'll make it a really gritty game. So give me ND to cover that and win this outright.
What a way to start the season for both teams. Tough game. Tough game. If my deal with this, a toss up, I haven't really made up my mind yet. I kind of lean with Miami, but I haven't pulled the trigger on it because I think that Notre Dame have a big coaching advantage. I just, you know, it's hard to trust Cristobal in these big games. He finds ways to lose, even if he has more talent than the other team. And Miami are replacing some pieces as well. But it's nearly a pick 'em for a reason. You got Virginia Tech and South Carolina. Listen, the Gamecocks are good. Should they be 8-point favorites? I'm not so sure. This point spread's a little bit high, but they're going to be a fun team to watch. Utah guys are at UCLA on Saturday night at 11 o'clock. There's a lot of fun games on Saturday. Utah at UCLA, but obviously the first game up, and me and Cam will be on at noon Eastern on Saturday, Ohio State and Texas. Ohio State, 1.5-point favorites. It's the first time ever that the number one ranked team in the country are underdogs in the first game of the season. The Texas Longhorns are the preseason number one ranked team in the country, and they are 1.5-point underdogs against Ohio State. What's your pick, Mo? Texas or Ohio State?
I've been flip-flopping back and forth here. I'm leaning towards Texas right now, today. I think that right now for Ohio State, you're breaking a new quarterback. I know Arch is somewhat breaking into his new role as the pivot face for Longhorn football. I just think that Texas has a little bit more firepower to work with, especially in their D-line right now, guys. That front four that Sarkisian has built up has depth to work with, and they're going to be game wreckers in this football game. So I think Texas wins this game on the road and sets the tone for their season moving towards week two.
Sarkisian's another one where he's obviously not on the hot seat. I mean, the guys, everything's coming together for him right now, but you got to win, right? Like, you got to win. Like, they're under pressure here, this. Like, all the Arch Manning hype, all right, you know, you got to go to Columbus. It's not an easy, obviously, it's one of the toughest places in the country to go play, but they've got to sort of finish the job. They just lost to Texas. Texas just lost to Ohio State in a playoff last year. In a football game, they were right there, and they made that stupid play call on the 5-yard line late in the game, and it blew the game up, and it led to a touchdown for Ohio State. So this is a revenge spot for Texas as well. I just have a hard time fully, and I hate Ohio State with a passion, as everybody knows. But for me, Cam, I have a hard time fully trusting Arch Manning going on the road in his first start here against Ohio State. Like, Ohio State, I guess you could, I was going to say Ohio State aren't getting respected here, but that's not true because they're favored. Mm-hmm. But amongst the media and public, everybody Texas. Like, Ohio State's not an easy place to win, man.
It's an easy place to win, Gabe. You know, you're a Michigan fan. Those fans are rabid. That building's going to be packed. There's so much Texas hype, Gabe. When I was down there, every damn show, it was the lead. Arch Manning, Texas, Texas, Texas. So you're telling me Ohio State's -2.5 on my book. They're -120 on the money line here. But I will tell you this, Gabe. I do lean with the Buckeyes. I know you hate them. I think it's going to be very difficult for Texas to get in there. And I know you like overs, but 47.5, I see a defensive struggle. I'll make that pre-bet. Then me and you do the show at noon Eastern, and maybe we'll play in-game. But, Gabe, I don't trust Texas to go in there and win that game. And I actually think it's going to be a dogfight defensive battle. And by the way, Morenci, I have under 9.5 plus 160 on one of my books. I'm not sure if Texas gets 10 wins this year.
Wow.
That's bold to say they don't get to 10. I do agree with the under in this game, but the problem is – last month, it was 49.5. I know it's 2 points, but still, it has come down a little bit. I don't expect a track meet either. I mean, and the thing with Arch Manning, Mo, he hasn't really played that much, right? Yeah, he ran the ball. I think he's thrown 18 passes. Like, you know what I mean? So they're not throwing the football 35 times, Texas. They're going to be looking to run the ball. Ohio State's got a new quarterback with Julian Sain in here, who was a massive recruit at Alabama a couple of years ago. One thing with Ohio State guys that I'm concerned about is, talent-wise, they're loaded, okay? So, and, you know, you could argue they have the best of at positions. Like, Jeremiah Smith, all right, best wide receiver maybe in the country. I know that Caleb Downs is the best safety in the country, right? So it's like, all right, you've got the best this, you've got the best that, but Will Howard was, you know, not great, but he was one of those sort of just veteran leader type of guys out there, right? He had seen stuff before. Julian Sain hasn't seen anything before. Travion Henderson is murdering people in the NFL right now. He's not there anymore in the backfield. Junkins, not there in the backfield anymore. Sawyer, the Jack Sawyer dude, the jerk dude that hated Michigan as much as he did. He was their heart and soul of their defense.
The
like that guy, like, you know, he hates Michigan.
Oh, dude, I know that guy, Michigan. I hate you. He was just, it's like, dude, you're playing, like, relax. Every comment, Gabe, doesn't matter who they played. He brought up Michigan. You're right. That guy's got a hate on for the Wolverines.
Yeah, so he's not there anymore either, but he was like the captain of the defense. Yes. He was their AJ Hawk type thing. Like,
Andy Casamore.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of their sort of like heart and soul, like, you know, leader guys. So, like, you know, they'll figure it out, but it's, you know, I think I like Ohio State under 10.5 this year. I think Ohio State are going to lose 2 times in a regular season. So I would like to see that happen in the first game of the year against the Texas Longhorns. 3:30 Eastern time, Alabama at Florida State, Mo. We know what happened last year to the Noles. They just, you know, they fell apart. And you got Alabama, who are pretty stacked this year, actually. It's funny because I think Milroe is a better quarterback than Simpson is, but they like Simpson better, right? Like, he, I don't know, he just fits DeBoer's system. Like, they didn't like Jalen Milroe. Like, DeBoer and Milroe were not on the same page, right? And they kind of knew it. It was one of those deals where Milroe wasn't even sure if he was going to leave, and he realized they don't really even want me here. So Milroe's in the NFL right now. They like what they got in Simpson here. I think Alabama are going to murder, actually, Florida State in this game. I'm not sure last year was an anomaly for Florida State. I think they're kind of rebuilding a little bit still here now. I'll lay the 13.5 with Bama. What's your pick, Mo?
100% all the way through. I think FSU, you know, they bring in the BC kid, bring in the former UCF head coach to be the OC. And I just don't think Florida State has enough firepower to keep up with Bama. Ryan Williams is going to be, you can talk about Jeremiah Smith. Ryan Williams for Alabama is the man. Yes, you see, he's going to have a phenomenal year this year for the Crimson Tide. I think for Ty Simpson, like, he's been patient, guys. He's been waiting his time to be the starting quarterback for Alabama. I think he'll put up numbers that will be comfortable for Kalen DeBoer to go with. And I think now moving forward here for FSU, you know, with Mike Norvell as head coach, you got Gus Malzahn as the OC. Can Malzahn keep this offense competent enough to be in games? I don't think so. I think FSU is going to have another long year and Bama rolls over the Noles.
The thing with Simpson is he's much more accurate than Milroe, right? DeBoer's offense, you need to be accurate. And Milroe was, you see it, Cam, with the Seahawks. It was funny in the preseason game the other night. It was classic Jalen Milroe. He threw this like bullet, like this 22-yard bullet right between the numbers. And I was like, wow, what a pass. Bam. And literally 2 plays later, there was like a little bubble screenplay and he sailed it like way over Buddy's head.
True.
And it was like, dude, he's 5 yards away from you. But he was on the move and it was just one of those quick bang, bang plays. And I started chuckling. I was like, told you, like, this is him. He's very EJ Manuel like Mo. Remember EJ Manuel?
Oh, you better not say that, Marenzi.
Milroe's got a lot of EJ Manuel in him.
Settle down.
Except he's more mobile. Like, yes. Jalen can take off. EJ didn't like to run much, but EJ would do that. EJ would be like, oh my God, you just threw that ball 45 yards on a rope. You look like John Elway. And then another play would be like, listen, we just need you to throw this little 7 yard out. And he'd throw it in the first row, Mo. You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't Milroe throw a more accurate deep ball than Manuel? No, but you're right. Gabe, I do.
Oh, Milroe can throw a beautiful bomb. Yeah, yes. Yeah. But you don't get to throw that many bombs in football.
Yeah. No, you're right. I worry about it. It's actually funny to Gabe's point. The simplest thing he can't do and the hardest things he does very well and makes them look easy. He's one of those. But Gabe, I think he's going to be good. And I've heard great things too. He wants to learn. The coaching staff loves him. He's getting there. Like, you know what I mean? I think this guy's taking it seriously. And I'm really glad the Seahawks drafted him.
Oh, he does understand the playbook and stuff. Yeah, there's like some quarterbacks are raw. And they're like, oh, like that was that like Mo, like Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. People bitch about Anthony. Oh, he should get a chance. He doesn't know the playbook.
No.
Like, they tell, like, he's not prepared. Like, he wasn't prepared last year. And they were underwhelmed this year. Like, you've got to be a little bit of a football nerd if you're a QB. Like, you've got to understand. You can't just show, like, in college, you can just show up. In the NFL, you need to understand what the other team wants to do to you. Jalen is a football junkie. Like, I remember, like, Saban was talking about that. He said, all right, a kid watches tape all the time. And, like, you know, he's a raw athlete. All right, so LSU and Clemson, these two are not raw. This guy's such a huge game. National championship implications. pressure under both coaches. Way more pressure on Brian Kelly, though. Kelly's got to start delivering. You've got Nussmeier and Klubnik. Literally the second and third choices and four choices right now, depending on the book, for the Heisman Trophy. You know, everyone's talking about Arch Manning. Nussmeier's going to throw for like 4,000 yards this year, guys. And Cade Klubnik, don't forget, when Clemson have the talent, they do put up points. Like, right, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. Like, now they've got a quarterback and they've got wide receivers. They didn't have, like, the talent before. Like, Clemson skill position players were hurting the last couple of years. They've got their three guys back now, like, in wide receiver. The total of this football game is 57.5. Clemson can play defense, though. What's your pick for this one, Mo? LSU and Clemson.
Man, I'll say this. If LSU loses another opener, man, Brian Kelly might as well stay in Clemson, not go back to Baton Rouge. I think he'll be destroyed. I think right now, Nussmeier is my pick to win the Heisman. I think he'll put up numbers. I agree with you on that front. But to go into the second Death Valley in the South.
Yeah, they're both Death Valley. They're both Death Valleys, actually. Yeah. Ironically,
they had this whole argument with
Death Valley. LSU is talking about we're the real Death Valley, so we're going to shut this thing up. Yeah.
But you know, Klubnik, Dave, you know, I was anti Klubnik last year when we had our conversation about him last year in the opener that they had, and he lost that football game. But I think this year is his time to step up here. The ACC, it's Clemson and probably everyone else in that conference, and I think that he'll have a chance to showcase the college football world, being the primetime game, that he will be the man to carry Clemson. So give me Clemson to win this game, and definitely will go over. I think this is going to be one of those high-scoring games somewhere in the mid-30s, 35-32 win by Clemson over the other Tigers.
I like Clemson, too. Yeah, it's Tigers and Tigers and Death
Tigers
Valley.
Tigers and Tigers, Death Valley. What the hell is going on here? I told you. Like, Gabe, can we get Spider-Man some more meme. Original names, guys?
I don't want to hear anybody from the South ever talk about, Rough Riders and Rough Riders.
Yeah, great call. Exactly. How many Tigers and Cougars and
Cam, there's like five Tigers and Bulldogs in the SEC alone.
Exactly.
Like they're all Tigers and Bulldogs.
Yeah, and at least if we have Rough Riders and Rough Riders, it's cool. Like, it's only two, and it's a good show. They got a million of them. I'm with you. And two Death Valleys, too. Enough. Gabe? It's
you got
personal.
The Missouri Tigers, Clemson, the Clemson Tigers, the SEC, but like you got the Georgia Bulldogs, Mississippi State Bulldogs. Like you got the same conference, you got the same names. I mean,
exactly,
so, kind of dumb. But the thing is, Clemson are 4-point favorites in that game. Like it's climbing up, and that's you know, four. And one thing I'll say, Mo, I agree with you. Listen, you got these two potent offenses and stuff, but Clemson can play D. LSU cannot. We'll see if LSU ever figure out how to play defense. They're going to be, they can win the national championship, but they don't play very good defense in Baton Rouge. Clemson can play D, and I was at the game last year. It was the season opener. It was actually, this weekend. It was Labor Day weekend. LSU and USC. And the total was the same thing. It was actually 57.5, I remember. And everyone's the same thing. Oh, man, you got USC, and you got Nussmeier. You got this LSU offense. Game's going to go over the number. It stayed under, guys. What was the final? 24-17 or something like that?
It was
like
an ugly score line.
Yeah. Like it didn't. There were turnovers, a couple of interceptions, a couple of drives stalled in the red zone. I know because I had money on the over and I was at the game and I was mad about it. I was on USC though, because as you stated, LSU often lose these games. I didn't Clemson win, Cam, but I'm not in love with the 4 points.
I agree with you, Gabe, and I'm seeing 3.5 on my FanDuel book, which is interesting because they usually make it. They can't put 4.5 because that's absolutely huge. But I agree with you guys. I think Clemson wins the game. We talked about futures with Clemson and an ACC where I think they're going to dominate. And also, Gabe, I will say this. It's personal. I don't like Brian Kelly. I don't like the way he treats the kids. He's been doing it his whole damn career. I would love to see Clemson punch these guys in the face. No offense to a lot of players on LSU that I like. I just don't like that coach, and he needs to come up and give me the Clemson Tigers. And Gabe brings up a good point. Just because it looks like a track meet, Clemson is a much better defense than LSU, and that's why I'll take them in the game. And Gabe, to be honest with you, I have no opinion on the total because I think it could be more defensive than people think.
And everybody knows. You guys know I love to bet overs. But for this game, I'd be a little bit cautious and say, almost wait for the in-game here. Mm-hmm. Let's say Clemson get the ball first. They march down the field. They eat up 7-8 minutes off the clock, settle for a field goal. Like, totals drop. Like, we were alive during the Kansas State game the other day, man. The total opened up at 50-51.5. At one point, it was down to 30.5. And ended up getting to 45. So there'll be spots for us to jump in game if it does slow down. Michigan and Underwood make their debut against the New Mexico Lobos. They are 34.5-point favorites. And remember, Moore is suspended, the coach of Michigan. And I like how they did this, guys. They suspended him for two games. So they suspended him, Cam, for the New Mexico game. He coaches against Oklahoma, and then he's suspended again in 3 weeks against Central Michigan.
It's the best. It's like, don't worry about it. We'll let our assistants take care of those
games.
Like that,
Mo? Like how we did that? We're like, you do Oklahoma, you don't do New Mexico.
It's so smart. If you could do it, why not?
You shouldn't even be allowed to do that. It should be like, no. It's the first two games of the year.
You're right, Gabe.
You guys don't get the pick.
You shouldn't be allowed to pick and choose. A suspension. It's like, okay, no worries. We got it.
One for me, two for you. Ha,
that's
it. Just makes a mockery of it. It's like,
it really does.
Like, okay,
it's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. A nice suspension.
It's like, you really punish me. All right, so I won't stand on the sideline against the Lobos.
I'll call my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the thing is, they're at practice all week and everything too. It's just on game day. Like, all right. So we got a couple of nightcaps, fun games on Saturday night. Hawaii. Coming off their season opening win. Matt, you know, listen, every win is big for them. Their win total is 5.5. It's bowl or bust for Hawaii this year. So they're just trying to get to 6. So they got one under their belt. They're getting 17.5 points actually at Arizona. Cal and Oregon State, kind of an interesting game. Cal, old school Pac 12 opener.
Love it.
Cal at Oregon State. The Beavers are 1.5-point favorites. Colorado State in Seattle to take on the Huskies. Huskies minus 22. Or I think the Huskies are poised for a good year this year. Not like playoff good, but they'll be good. Like, the Huskies will be good again. And you got Utah, UCLA, guys, the last game of the night, all along with Colorado State game at 11 o'clock Eastern. Utah, 6-point favorites at UCLA, Mo. We get to see Nico Iamaliva's debut here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Coach Foster and UCLA to put this together, right? They spent a lot of money in the portal this year. They got more aggressive than years past, guys, and there's more confidence now for what they want to build up in Westwood. And with Nico there, it'll help enhance the offensive profile, right? And now you play in a Utah Utes team, which, again, in transition right now with what they've built up and what they've lost. But Utah's played UCLA very tough in Westwood in years past, guys. Look at the score lines before here. Give me Utah to win this game over UCLA.
A lot of people think Utah are going to win a Big 12 this year. They bring in the Dampier kid at quarterback. So they're finally, you know, they're going to have some explosive quarterback play for once. I think that 6 is a little high for me. I lean UCLA plus the points, but I could see Utah winning by 3, Mo. Utah wins, UCLA loses a heartbreaker, which happened to UCLA a lot last year, actually. They lost close games.
They did. No, they definitely did, right? But I just think now for Coach Foster, what he's built up, they'll be better this year. I think they can win 70 games at UCLA. But you're playing a Utah team that is fundamentally better when it comes to defensive assignments, tackling, and all that here. I agree with you that the point spread is a little bit high here, but I just think that Utah is a lot more, lot less question marks about them going to this game than UCLA is right now coming in.
UCLA made a big mistake going to the Big Ten. They should have stayed on the West Coast and everything would have been fine.
Yeah,
for
but
them.
They could have, though, right? Because they're tied with USC, right?
Yeah, there was the California school thing, exactly.
Yeah, and Cal, too, kind of got screwed out of that whole process.
Well, yeah, they left Cal. And Stanford were in part of it, too, but UCLA and USC met without them.
Yeah.
They met without them. But, listen, UCLA, they've recruited really well. I think Foster is a good coach. He's not a good interview, as we see in press conferences and stuff like that. But players like him, and they're scrappy. That team plays with a lot of heart. Like you said, Mo, Ed Garber sucked. I don't like calling college kids out, but he wasn't very good, right? So they had bad quarterback play. So now they bring in a real quarterback here. It'll help them. But the problem is their schedule is a bitch, man. Like, I don't know. Like,
it always is.
To play Utah, but you shouldn't be playing Utah. Like, Cam, if you look at their Big Ten schedule, they play everybody. Like, it's really almost unfair compared to some other schools' programs. And
it is unfair.
Utah, like, I would have even canceled it if I was UCL. I would have said, listen, we're in the Big Ten now. Look at our schedule. Sorry to screw you, but we're playing cupcakes for the first 3 weeks of the season. We're not doing this. Like, I've got to give myself a chance to go to a bowl game, and I make it harder on myself. I'm playing the Utah Utes in the first game of the year.
It's ridiculous, Morenci. Their schedule was a murderer's row last year, too. I don't know what the UCLA and Bruins
if I'm Utah,
did.
I'm not happy I'm going to LA either.
Exactly. Like, yeah, no, like, honestly, these other teams, you get cupcakes, and now you're having a game. Like, this is a good football game. I'm with you, Gabe. I lean Anmo. I lean Utah, but UCLA's a sneaky team, Gabe. You saw how scrappy. They cover a lot of numbers there. This could be a lot closer, like a field goal game, 3 or 4 points. 6.5 looks like a lot. Washington, I actually think they might take Colorado State out to the woodshed and win this game by like 28 plus. They're minus, 21.5 here. Oregon State, Cal, historically, Oregon State's had a lot of problems with Cal. That's a very tough game. I'd lean Beavers. And Gabe, I think Hawaii getting 17.5, even on the road in Arizona, might be too many points.
But it depends if the quarterback's healthy for Hawaii, right? If he's not healthy, I think that point spread's a lot more desirable if you're an Arizona fan.
I can't disagree with that. We'll have to keep our eye on the quarterback situation and the injury situation throughout the week. Our boy Mo Khan with us. Man, it's great to have all this football back. And NFL football starts in a week and a half. So next week we'll jump into the NFL. But Mo, we'll let you go, and I'll ask you. I'll get your prediction here. Heisman Trophy odds right now: Arch Manning +650. Nussmeier, who you just said you liked, is +850. Yep. Cade Klubnik is right there at +900. So it goes to show the importance of these two going head to head in this game. Jeremiah Smith 10-1. He's not winning the Heisman.
No, he won the Biletnikoff, I think.
Lenora Sellers, I don't think he wins. South Carolina, I think they have a really tough schedule as well. So, yeah, they're good, but they're not going to win enough games for him to win. He's 16-1. Drew Aller is 18-1 at Penn State. He won't put big enough numbers up. Ty Simpson, 18-1, Alabama. Carson Beck, 20-1, Miami. Dante Moore, 20-1, Oregon Duck, new quarterback. DJ Lagway. I like Lagway a lot, but will Florida win enough? And Lagway has injury problems.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Julian Sain is 20-1. I look at this, and I don't want to just be like Captain Chalk here, but I kind of get the feeling, guys, it is the top three guys. Like, that's the race there. If Arch Manning plays well this year, he'll win the Heisman. Nussmeier and Klubnik have an opportunity to do something special. Nussmeier's going to put up massive numbers, but will they win enough games? Cade Klubnik, I think, is sort of a good pick because I think they're going to put up big numbers, and I think they will win. Like, Klubnik will be in New York. Like, so he's got a puncher's chance. I'm going to say Klubnik at 9-1. Mo, you're saying Nussmeier +850?
Yeah, I'm going Nussmeier. I think that offense will put up numbers. Remember, you can lose 2-3 games and still win the Heisman. I think that's what's going to happen to LSU. I think Nussmeier wins, but LSU will probably be a 3-loss team this year.
Yeah, and if anything, Cam, that's the one thing with LSU. They don't win championships, but they win Heismans. Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow. Well, they won the championship with Burrow, but like,
I think you bring up an interesting point, though, Gabe. If Aller does enough with Penn State, and they're a very good team at 18-1, but the thing is, they're probably going to run the ball a lot more, have more of a balanced attack. But if he does put up good numbers, that price is very good at 18 because they're a damn good football team.
And we know with the Heisman, there's always people we never talk about. So let's look a little deeper. A lot of people like Sam Levitt, Arizona State. He's 20-1. Gunnar Stockton, 22, Georgia. No, you mentioned John Mateer coming over from Washington State. He's in Oklahoma now. He's a good quarterback. Jeremiah Love, running back, Notre Dame. I'm just looking at, is there a quarterback here that's going to light this thing up?
But Jeremiah Love, if he puts on a performance against Miami, that will vault him into that top three, top four conversation.
I think Justice Haynes is going to put up massive numbers. I don't even see him. I got to keep scrolling. Sawyer Robertson. Here's a dark horse, guys, for everybody. Sawyer Robertson, quarterback of Baylor, 16-1. I personally think Baylor are going to win the Big 12. I think Baylor are going to beat Auburn this week. He has an opportunity, actually. Sawyer Robertson, guys, 16-1. And here's one as well. Yeah, speaking of USC, he was the quarterback last year at the game I was at, but he transferred. Miller Moss. We all know what Louisville can do for a quarterback and what Braum could do for a quarterback. You could look for Miller Moss to put up some big numbers and have a big year this year with the Louisville Cardinal. But I'm going to say Cade Klubnik. My long shot will be Sawyer Robertson, 60-1. Cam, what's your Heisman pick?
My Heisman pick is going to be – I'm actually going to take a shot with Aller, go a little bit deeper, Gabe. I like both your picks with Klubnik and Nussmeier. I'm going to take a shot there. Underdog. What are we looking at? You know what, Gabe? I like your Miller Moss pick at Louisville because they're going to have to win games. This guy's going to throw for like 400 yards plus in that. At 50-1 is a really good price. I want to take Williams Jr. from Washington, but it's going to be too tough for them. You know the Huskies are getting better, Morenci, but they're going to lose some games.
Yeah, I'm going to say Sawyer Roberts in my long shot, and he won't win, but I like this quarterback a lot, actually, is Haynes King. 75-1 Haynes King is back at Georgia.
They don't put up numbers though at Georgia Tech, though, Gabe. They run the ball. That's what they do.
Yeah, but he runs it though. He puts up numbers.
But the thing is, it's not the numbers that you want from a quarterback. He might put up average pass numbers, but the running numbers might be astronomical. May not be good enough in the voters' eyes of him being a Heisman winner.
Oh, he is having hope in hell of winning. He's 75-1, but he's Look, Avery Johnson. I don't think Avery Johnson's got a hope in hell of winning.
Yeah, exactly. He's 50. Put him off the list.
He's 50-1. But no, but look at like basically, look, Haynes King is in the same category as a lot of good quarterbacks. Here's one actually, like Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels, who looked really good actually on Saturday. Jalen Daniels, 66-1, Kansas Jayhawks. Damon Williams, 75-1, Washington Husky quarterback. Haynes King, 75-1. Caden Salter, 80-1. Nico is 75-1. You got some good quarterbacks actually in that 75-1 range, but it's a popularity contest, guys, the Heisman Trophy. So,
of course,
you know, Arch Manning's got the lead as the popular cool kid on campus, and then Nussmeier and Klubnik have the opportunity to put numbers up. So college football is back, and we'll wrap it up with you, Mo, with CFL football. Calgary Stampeders, man, they just seem to own the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty wild, right? They just match up well with them. And I just think that now
the only team that can beat them.
Oh, man. Hey, Gabe, how about our over in BC, too? Woo-wee, more points, please.
The Argo games are tracking.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I'll tell you right now, actually, the Argos and Ticats. The total went high, though. It's 56.5 on Labor Day. So we got the Labor Day Classics next. Only three games this week and a weird schedule to CFL this week, guys, but pretty cool with college football back. I like how they did this. Sunday night football, Winnipeg Blue Bombers at Rough Riders. Rough Riders, 6-point favorites. Monday afternoon, 2:30 Eastern, Argos, 5.5-point underdogs at Hamilton, total 56.5. And the Edmonton Elks and the Calgary Stampeders at 6 o'clock Eastern on Monday. We also have TCU and North Carolina on Monday night. Actually, what's your pick for that, Mo? TCU, North Carolina.
Oh, TCU. I don't trust UNC right now. And I'll be wrong. Probably UNC wins this game, but I think TCU has more stability right now. I know people who are at UNC right now who are playing for UNC. Not that I spoke to them directly, though, but just reading up all these things here and how things have gone so far for UNC this offseason, this team may win 6-7 if they're lucky. But Bill Belichick has a lot of work to do to get this program back to where they want to be in their eyes of being maybe an ACC power, maybe in 2-3 years down the road. But give me TCU to win this football game.
Yeah, TCU are 3.5-point favorites at Chapel Hill, the home game for North Carolina. All right, Mo, so quick, what's your CFL picks here?
Look, right now, I think the first game, Bombers, Riders, give me the Bombers to win. I think Winnipeg showed a lot of guts and glory. The question remains, though, is the receiving corps will it be healthy enough for Sunday's game? Toronto-Hamilton. This is a big week for Hamilton, guys, because if Hamilton beats the Argonauts and beat the Alouettes next Saturday, I think the division's wrapped up for the Ticats. Give me the Ticats to win this football game over Toronto. Edmonton-Calgary is probably the sneaky best game of the week here. I think the Elks are going to pull off the win over the Stampeders. Remember, Calgary's always had these hiccups, right? Lost to Ottawa twice. And many thought they would have steamrolled the Red Blacks. I think the Elks are starting to peak now and play better football than where they were before. Give me the Elks to go on the road to beat the Stampeders on Labor Day Monday night.
Great stuff, Mo. We'll catch up with you next week. Enjoy the games.
Can't wait, guys. Have a great week.
There's Mo Khan with us. Always good with our boy Mo Khan. We'll wrap up with Cam here. Tie up some loose ends. So. You know, crazy weekend, wild weekend of sports. So we'll get Cam's thoughts on Tommy Fleetwood in a second here. But Thomas Muller, of course, is on the Vancouver Whitecaps right now. Bayern Munich legend. He played his second game. So he's played two games. He played like 25, 30 minutes in the first game. I've been at both games. I'm a hardcore Cap fan. I'm a real idiot. I should have just bought season tickets this year. I've spent like so much money on season tickets and on tickets. Season tickets are $375. Like, I just spent like 103 to go to the last game alone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just dumb. But they're a really hot ticket right now in commodity, the Whitecaps. And it was super. It was a wild game. I bet a lot on the Whitecaps. They were losing. It was crazy. I had, like, it was really a wild, wild stuff. And the Whitecaps, it was magic. It was finally, like, we've been screwed so many times. I went to the game, like, last week, and the Whitecaps were up 1-0, and Houston scored in the 93rd minute to cost me my bet. It was just torturously sad and brutal. And this week, it was wild. It was up and down, and the game's tied, and we're in, like, the 90th minute. And anyways, Mueller gets the penalty kick, and I was right behind the net, actually. So I see Thomas Mueller's first goal as a Whitecap in the MLS, and the penalty kick. They won the game because of it. I was all lit up and hammer chanting, "We want the cup. We want." I got a chant going. "We want the cup. We want the cup. The MLS cup. We want the cup."
Yeah, usually it's Vancouver. "We want the cup. You want the MLS cup, not the Stanley
cup. MLS cup. We want the cup." But listen, there's some good teams in MLS right now. A lot of teams stocked up. Hell, Charlotte are on a 7-game win streak. Seattle are really good, but the Whitecaps are a great story. And man, they've really got the city's buzzing right now. Like, this is. The only thing I've seen like this is kind of the Canucks. Once when the Canucks were doing well in the playoffs, where you could just sort of feel it and everyone's talking about it, and like, it's kind of like that with the Whitecaps now. Like, you see Whitecap jerseys everywhere, and tickets are sold out, and tickets are like expensive on StubHub. It's like a hot ticket now, suddenly. So it's fun to be a part of this run that the Vancouver Whitecaps are on. And you know what? The MLS season is so long and drawn out, but it's actually coming to a close. Like, the season's winding down right now. I know, as someone that goes, there's not that many home games left. So the MLS playoffs are around the corner. U.S. Open, Cam, the tennis started, and Bacco got bounced right away. Some people thought she was going to be able to win the U.S. Open. That was way too ambitious.
And her first round match, Gabe?
This is she would lose the first round.
Exactly. And the girl she played is actually one of the better players of the world. But if she would have found a way, she had a nice path. But it was just too much, Gabe, coming over that wrist injury. But let's be honest, Gabe, there's a lot of things we can talk about. And you're right, we're going to wrap up some loose ends. Brooke Henderson. Now, Nick Taylor won the Canadian Open. Brooke Henderson won the U.S. Yeah, and it was in my backyard, too. I used to work and clean clubs for rich guys at Mississauga Golf and Country Club. She got it done against Minji Lee.
I would say I wish I had her, but she hasn't been playing well, so it's a surprise the whole thing. That she won.
Yeah, no, I actually thought Minji Lee, like, and I bet her all the time, who came second in this tournament, that was the play. But good on Brooke Henderson. In your backyard, tough course. These girls really grinded it out, Gabe. Isn't that amazing? So Nick Taylor, a Canadian, has won the Canadian Open, and she wins the Women's Canadian Open being played in Mississauga, Ontario. Shout out to Brooke Henderson. That's her 14th win. And Tommy Fleetwood, God, it was great. Everybody, all the players, standing ovation for Tommy Fleetwood. He finally gets it done. I had him top 5 and 10, Gabe. And our boy Cameron Young had a nice showing for a while, but we did pretty good there. But I wish I had Fleetwood to win just a top 5 and 10. So a crazy weekend in golf as well.
And shout out to Brady Cannon, who took Tommy Fleetwood. And I remember saying, you're doing it one more time, aren't you? Brady's and why great. Not? That last tournament, and he had confidence. And, you know, it's unbelievable. Like we said, it had two different sort of wins. Like Brooke Henderson, I'll tell you what, Brooke Henderson winning just bought herself another 50 years of endorsements in Canada and bank
you're
commercials.
Damn right she did. So
she's set for life. But, like, she's a really good player, Brooke Henderson, Canadian golfer. Yeah, she had not a good year. She's blowing up a lot in these tournaments. So it was kind of like, a lot like Tommy Fleetwood. I know, like, some people went back to Fleetwood, but it was like, yeah, Fleetwood just, he chokes all the time. He doesn't win. And Brooke Henderson wasn't choking. She just wasn't playing well. And she ends up winning. And Fleetwood, good for him, Cam. He's been through so much this year. He ends up winning the FedEx Cup.
I'm going to tell you, Gabe, and if anybody deserved it, it was him. He's and everyone talks about gagging, and Brady brought it up. And shout out to Brady for being on that train. I just got off one stop. I was just so tired of, like, the Sunday collapses. But remember, also, it's not just him choking. Guys beat him. Russell Henley chipped in to beat him. In the Canadian Open, like, Nick Taylor hit a 90-foot putt. Like, that, I'm looking at Fleetwood's losses. He should have made way more wins, Gabe. And this is very, very important. Now that he's got the monkey off his back, think about all the times he'll close now and use that to win tournaments. I think Tommy Fleetwood is going to have a huge year next year after getting that first win on American soil.
I will say, though, that I don't, you know, So Tommy Fleetwood wins the FedEx Cup. Oh, he wins the championship. We all know Scottie Scheffler was the best golfer this year.
Oh, yeah. The FedEx Cup is a joke. Let's call it for what it is.
Like, and, you know, if you're going to do it, I disagree with the resetting the points, Cam. What's the point of everything then? If going into the last tournament, everyone's equal again.
I'm going to be honest with you, Gabe. The FedEx Cup sucks. You don't even need it. You know what you do? You just have, you make the players the fifth major, and you talk about person, like you talk about it. At least NASCAR even has, like, you and you know NASCAR more than me. The system is at least better. There is no system that works for the FedEx Cup, except for this.
No, NASCAR at least, Cam, it goes to like the last race. It's like, all right, four guys have a chance and everyone else doesn't. But like,
yes,
you can't give everyone a chance still. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what are we doing? What were the other races and tournaments for then?
You know what you got to do, Gabe, and it's still not going to work? Match play. You have a stroke play element. You mix it up.
Just have a damn head-to-head tournament. Yes. We're crowning a champion and call it that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and if you beat a guy over 18 holes, you deserve to move on. But this whole system and, Scheffler obviously is the best player in the world. Golf is a lot of work to do. But the way I see it is you have an 18-hole stroke that you match play, and all the guys, like Scheffler, gets buys. Anyway, I'm not in the PGA Tour boardroom, nor are you, but the FedEx Cup's a joke. It's just like betting a regular golf tournament. The majors are where it's at.
And as far as golf betting is concerned, I guess we're going to have to turn our attention to the European market now, the Omega European.
And the Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup's coming up pretty quick.
Matt Fitzpatrick. There is actually golf this week in Europe. Aaron Rye, Alex Noren.
I won with Noren, Gabe, on the weekend. He ended up winning the European tournament. Watch out for Alex Noren, who ended up winning by one shot. He's got his game back. He went to Oklahoma State, Joe Ranieri's alma mater, but he's from Sweden. Very, very dangerous player right now, Alex Noren.
All right. So thanks to Mo Cotton for joining us. We'll break it down tomorrow. Once again, remember to subscribe wherever you download and listen to your favorite podcast. Subscribe so you get the alerts when the show drops weekday afternoons. Good to have Cam back from Las Vegas. We'll be on this Saturday at noon Eastern for Texas and Ohio State and many more. There's a lot of games going on, so it'll be cool. This past Saturday was fun to be on In-Game Live. We were doing a college football podcast. It was kind of a terrible first half. It was the only game going on. Like, this Saturday, we're going to have a full complement of games, so we'll be able to hammer it in-game. Other than that, we'll see you on the grid throughout the week, and we'll catch you tomorrow on the Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.